Welcome to The Fringe Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the Fox television show Fringe. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of The Fringe Podcast. I'm your host, Daryl, and I'm joined tonight by my co-host, Courtney.
Hello.
And, well, we've lied to our audience once again, haven't we, Courtney?
You have.
I guess I'm the one that made the promise. Last week, I said we are going to set up our studio in Jason's house and make sure he's with us this week. Circumstances dictated otherwise, didn't they?
They did on both accounts.
Yeah. So we're not at Jason's house. He is not with us. He had some family matters that cropped up and needed to take care of those. And certainly family comes before any type of activity such as a podcast. So anyway, hopefully he'll be with us next week. And so we're Jasonless again tonight.
Really, he's just our imaginary friend. We just talk about him occasionally to make ourselves feel better.
He's our one friend that we have.
Our one friend besides each other. Yes.
That's pretty good. I'm sad that you actually told the truth about that.
Well, you know, we have been lying for this long. I figured we may as well come clean and actually tell the truth for once.
Oh, we'll see. Hopefully next week Jason will be with us. And
no promises.
Yeah, we're not promising anymore. But a lot has happened since the last time we sat at this table and recorded a podcast. Namely, our site crashed. Yeah, that was really bad. I mean, we had worked very hard, put a lot of hours into the website, and backed it up, had a backup copy of it, and the backup turned out to be corrupted also, which that's really disappointing. When you have a backup, that's the purpose of the backup, and the backup craps out on you too.
Maybe next time we should have a backup of the backup.
It looks that way. And as I'm saying this, I haven't backed up the site since we got it back up.
Way to go, genius.
Yeah, so I should probably do that. So we did a lot of work this week on getting the website back up, and we didn't retrieve or get back to where we were before. What did I say?
You said nothing. Nothing wrong at all.
You're just randomly laughing.
Randomly, yes.
Okay, that's okay. So the site's back up. There's a few things that we had on there before that aren't there, namely the cast bio page that I worked so hard researching and
it was so lovely
and all my HTML skills, which are not very great, but I was proud of what I did on that page.
And it did look good.
Yeah, it's gone forever. So I'll redo that page, the form, the thing that we had, all that stuff in the form, gone. So, and that means if you have joined our forum, then that means you're gone. You need to rejoin our forum. So, we're terribly sorry.
We love you, but...
terribly sorry about that.
Please come back.
And so, join our forum at thefringepodcast.com/forum. We've got some new content in there. That was kind of the best part about having to redo everything is, you know, you had got to do it a little bit better the next time, and we learned a little bit more. We knew a little bit more than we did the first time we did it, and so
that's right. We're glass half full kind of people.
That's right. So I think the website really is better. The forum has got some additional topics in there for discussion that we didn't have before. So, like you said, glass half full type of deal. So, and it's funny. Early in the week, Courtney and I sat down, and I remember I said to you, I think we covered too much in our podcast this last week. I'm not sure what we're going to cover this week. We should have taken that hour-long podcast and divided it into two 30-minute podcasts. Do you remember me telling you that?
I remember you telling me that.
And then, you know, the cool thing is we are now just a couple of weeks away from this show taking off and airing on Fox. And so they are just starting to really market this thing. I'm seeing more and more commercials.
Commercials are everywhere.
Absolutely. And the internet is just going crazy with new material. So we've, in fact, there's been so much come out in the last 24 to 48 hours. I'm not sure that we're even prepared to talk about it tonight. We've got some really good ideas, some things we've unearthed, but we need to... we could probably spend the next 2 or 3 days researching this stuff.
Really, we could.
Yeah,
so I feel a little bit unprepared with all the stuff that we found.
I do too, and we've been researching it the last few days, and then we spent a few hours before this podcast researching it, and I'm still feeling a little uncomfortable because mm-hmm. there's so much cool stuff as they continue to throw us little bones. Staying with the bone analogy there, it's kind of like an archaeologist. Mm-hmm. You find a little bone and you unearth a little bit more. And
your
like,
skeleton
oh,
is growing.
This wasn't just a tooth. This was a tooth to a mammoth that we've uncovered here. We've got a lot of work ahead of us. So it's pretty cool with all the stuff that we've got this week. So if you check out our website at thefringepodcast.com, you're going to see some of the new stuff that they've thrown out there. We haven't added everything to our website yet. I'll be adding some more stuff over the next couple of days. There are two sets of photographs that we've added to the website, which are really, really
the most
cool.
Exciting, I think.
I think so. The first set that we added, it has Anna Torv, who plays Olivia Dunham. You've got Lance Reddick, who plays Philip Broyles. John Noble plays Dr. Walter Bishop. Jessica Nicole plays, she's got the real weird name, can you help me out on that one? No.
Not right off the top of my head.
It's gone. I'll come back in a second randomly. You got Joshua Jackson, who is playing Peter Bishop. You've got Blair Brown, who is playing the really creepy role of Nina Sharp. And you got Kirk and Acevedo, I think is how you say his name. I may be mispronouncing that.
No, I think that's right.
Is that right? And his character name has just left my memory as well. So we've got pictures of all them. And the only reason I name them off like that is because, to me, the first thing that as I'm looking at these new photos that they released, where's Mark Valley? Where's his character at in all
right.
of these? So, you know, we've seen the premiere. You've got names for me.
Jessica Nicole is Astrid Farnsworth.
That's right. See, I told you it was a strange name. Astrid mm-hmm. Farnsworth. Everyone else is kind of normal. Astrid Farnsworth, so that's a cool name, though. Like I said, we've seen the premiere, so we know what happens to Mark Valley's character in the premiere. I still don't see why he wasn't a part of these photographs, so that's why I found it was interesting, knowing when the premiere ends with all these characters, why that one was excluded is confusing to me.
Agent Charlie Francis.
Charlie Francis.
Kirk Acevedo.
Kirk Acevedo, so thank you, Courtney. We also learned something from last week. You know, last week we could not remember the character from the X-Files.
That's correct.
And so, Courtney, tell us.
The blue girl, her name is Mystique.
Mystique, of course.
I'm embarrassed that we could not remember that.
So this week we both have our laptops sitting in front of us, so that in cases such as we just had, where I couldn't remember Jessica Nicole's character name, Courtney can bail me out. And maybe I'll return the favor.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, you do. You got my back a lot. So out of the interesting things about these photographs, and the ones we're talking about, each of these characters are kind of in front of a whiteboard, I don't think it's a marker board. I think there's something that's being projected onto the board. That we see a bunch of mathematical formulas. We see the Fibonacci rectangle, right?
Yes, I wasn't thinking. Yeah, rectangle.
Right.
That threw me off. Sorry.
Sorry. Yep. Yeah. And we also, Joshua Jackson's character has a unique, picture, I guess, on the marker board on his picture. So a little research on that. And I did not discover this on my own. I never would have figured out where this came from. I think I got this knowledge from FringeTelevision.com. Or it may have been Fringe Bloggers, I'm not sure. Give it up to both of those guys. They both have excellent websites, by the way. That is kind of a screen cap, not really a screen cap, but a kind of a
image.
An image from the video game from 1981 on the Atari, I would imagine the 2600, for a video game called Tempest. Wow. That is really, really interesting. It's going to link into the next set of photographs that I want to talk about. The other set of photographs that they released, there's only three photographs. And what we see is Joshua Jackson, Anna Torv, and John Noble kind of huddled together in one of these photographs. And what do we see kind of in the background?
A tempest. tempest.
A tempest. It's a circular form of clouds. Looks to be a storm. So here in the previous picture with Joshua Jackson, we have the video game Tempest in the background. In this other set of photographs, we have kind of up in the sky a circular cloud formation, which could be a tempest. Anything else, tempest, ringing a bell with you, Courtney?
Yes, the other thing that we found was a tie-in to our favorite show, Lost.
Absolutely.
There is a Dharma
station.
Thank you. Named The Tempest.
Yeah, we don't see The Tempest a whole lot. And in fact, I'm embarrassed
to say
this.
We've seen it once.
I didn't remember The Tempest being a station immediately. And last week, Courtney told the world of my high score on the Facebook.
Yes,
Lost.
I did.
I checked this week. I'm 105, by the way. So I did fall below 100.
Grats.
Yeah. But I did do some more trivia questions, so hopefully that's going to go back up. But anyway, The Tempest is a station that we see in Lost. And I don't know if this is a direct tie into Lost or not. It definitely falls under the category that we talked about last week with, you know, maybe a nod to Lost or you know.
Similarities.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll throw this out there, though, and tell me what you think about this. When I first saw the pilot episode, you know, a month ago or whenever that was, there's a company in the Fringe premiere called Massive Dynamic. And they just kind of gave me the impression that they're almost like a Dharma Initiative type of organization where they're conducting these experiments, and we don't have a lot of detail about the experiments, but they seem to be involved in multiple areas of science, and I don't think that's giving away too much just based on the name Fringe, the Fringe Sciences, and what we talked about last week with all the sorts of different types of science that are associated with the opening dialogue of the show. It just kind of reminded me a lot of the Dharma Initiative, so maybe Massive Dynamic is sort of the DI of the 2000s, where the Dharma Initiative was kind of the 1970s. Mm-hmm. Maybe they changed their name, and this is their name for today. Or maybe they're just a different branch or arm. You know,
maybe
so they
were the brains
related
behind the Dharma Initiative.
Maybe, and maybe they're not related at all. I mean, these are two separate shows.
I would love for them to be tied in, though.
I would, but you know what? The only reason I would probably be more apt to say that Lost and Fringe are going to be end up being tied in together through this Dharma Initiative being the same as Massive Dynamic, except for Lance Reddick is in both shows. And you may say, well, that ties them together. I don't think so. I having seen at least one episode of Fringe and, you know, all the episodes of Lost, I mean, I know he's got a different character name, but I still think that I don't think it's the same character, even under a different name, even like if one of them's an alias. You know, what do you think?
I think I would have to agree with you, because as I'm thinking over what Broyles is, he's not tied into Massive Dynamics at all.
Right.
He's FBI. I think he's FBI.
He's
some sort of agency.
Yeah, agent.
So I would say no. I mean, that would be... That would almost put too much into the whole double spy thing, since we already had Agent Scott have his little defect off into whatever.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I would love for it to. If nothing else, maybe we can just say that the whole thought process that went behind creating the Dharma Initiative may have served as inspiration for Massive Dynamic.
And I could go for that. Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool, and maybe the Tempest, the Tempest, going back to that, in Lost, we see that the Tempest Station is where they did, you know, chemical, I was going to say biological, but I don't necessarily think.
I think it was just chemistry type stuff.
When the purge happened and Ben gassed everybody, then that was gas.
That was where the gas came
from.
From
the Tempest. We saw Goodwin worked at the Tempest, burnt his arm on the chemicals that were there, and Juliet treated him, and that's kind of how they fell in love, and blah, blah, blah.
La, la, la.
Yeah, Juliet falls in love with everybody.
She does. She's a little vulnerable.
Yeah, so anyway, the Tempest is a tie-in there. If, you know, it also, you know, meteorology and the whole controlling of weather patterns and what type of effect that could have on different cultures and governments. If you think about it, if you could control the weather and prevent the rain from occurring in certain parts of the globe, or you know, trying to change the whole dynamic of the globe by controlling the weather. Perhaps, you know, maybe that's, you know, something that can be drawn from this. I don't know. I'm kind of just talking off the top of my head here.
I don't know, but it's funny that you just mentioned that, because remember earlier we were talking about the butterfly effect and how one small change in one part of the world can change the weather or whatever in another part of the world.
Right.
Not saying that ties in at all, but as you're sitting here talking more about weather and weather-related things, just seems a little coink-dink kind of thing.
Yeah, it was interesting. And you mentioned the butterfly effect to me earlier today. And, you know, one of the symbols we see on fox.com/fringe is a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
I still kind of look at that. To me, the whole butterfly effect is a little
bit
far-fetched.
It's a bunch of hooey.
Yeah, to think that the flapping of a wing of a butterfly in one part of the globe, that little disturbance in the airflow could totally redirect a tornado on the other side of the globe. I'm not buying it. But the whole idea that I see in the butterfly that they're showing on their website is the fact that a butterfly and a moth, that their body structure, if you were to take, you know, their body and encase it in an – I keep hitting my microphone – and encase it in a rectangle, then that rectangle would have the proportion or the ratio of the golden ratio, 1.61. I kind of see that as drawing into it. Maybe that's why they're throwing the butterfly in there.
And I think that's probably more correct. I was just throwing that butterfly effect out. Even if you don't think of it in the terms of the butterfly causes the change, some small change elsewhere can cause a huge change in another part of the world.
Yeah.
Even if you take it broader out that direction.
Sure, and I can totally see that maybe when talking about meteorology and weather patterns. You know, that's something that weather pattern here can definitely have a total different cause, or a cause here can have a different effect elsewhere in the world.
Well, yeah, we see that even just state by state with hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
A hurricane makes landfall in Texas, and then here in Oklahoma we get 80 degree temperatures and crazy rain.
Right.
So.
Very interesting. Or like when a volcano goes off and it affects weather patterns across multiple states,
mm-hmm.
and depending on how large the dust cloud is and all the matter that's thrown into the atmosphere, it can even have, multinational effects and weather patterns. So it's definitely a little more plausible than a butterfly.
Right.
So very interesting. So, and then the other thing that might come to folks' mind initially when they hear the name Tempest might be the Shakespearean play, The Tempest. I'll be honest with you, if we studied that in high school, I slept that day. I don't remember that at all. Do you have any recollection of that?
Not from school. Just looking at the Wikipedia, The Tempest is really just kind of fraught with all kinds of information from several different sections when you just go search Tempest. So when you look at Tempest on Wikipedia, one of the themes of The Tempest has to do with magic. And obviously it's written 1600s. So magic was very much frowned upon. I mean, that's when we're burning people at the stake for thinking they're witches or whatever. But one kind of idea that it brought out was good magic versus bad magic, and how Prospero was a good magician, but he used his science and rationale to create his magic. And it was more along the divine nature, the supernatural, studying those kinds of things. It wasn't, the kind of dark magic we think about that's associated with the witch. I don't know how to say her name, Sycorax or something like that. But I just thought it was interesting that it mentioned specifically a divine nature of magic, so to speak. And one of the words that we see in the title sequence of Fringe is God.
Right, and that was one of the things last week that I said, we'll get to that, and then I never got to that.
Never did.
Yeah. And so while we're on the subject now, let's talk about that. I mean, you're suggesting that perhaps that's the connection here with The Tempest. I think the whole idea of it being in the title sequence is that by taking these different types of science to the extreme, like we talked about last week, which is what we think is going on, in essence, aren't they trying to play God and control everything through genetic cloning, through artificial intelligence, through trying to be instantaneously, you know, teleportation, you know, instantaneously moved from one place to the other. So it's almost this omniscient type of, you know, capabilities. Probably that's why it was in the title sequence, wouldn't you say?
Could be. Yeah. I mean, we don't really know. But one quote from the Wikipedia that I was trying to remember and couldn't say exactly. Several scientists took what they called a more rational approach to the study of the supernatural, determined to discover the workings behind unusual phenomena. Which I think fringe science would be the study of unusual phenomena.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next topic here. You know, we talked last week about Fibonacci's numbers. We went into those into pretty good detail, and we talked about the golden ratio. We talked about the animal horn that's found on fox.com/fringe. More and more things are pointing to these numbers and these the Fibonacci involvement and all that. This is kind of where I was kind of talking about earlier in the podcast, where it seems like the more you unearth, the more you realize there's more than meets the eye here. Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I'm a little frustrated with it because I can never seem to get past the sequence and the ratio. It's like we get into it and then boom, here we are back again at the sequence and the ratio.
Yeah, totally. And we see it, you know, kind of those same equations, the Fibonacci rectangle and golden rectangle and golden ratio numbers. When we look at the whiteboards that are found on the first set of pictures that we mentioned earlier in this podcast. In fact, I took one of the, I just took those numbers, those kind of the answers to the equations on the whiteboard and just kind of Googled those. And one of the numbers I Googled was the number 1.17082. I did not find a whole lot on that. I'm sure there's some people out there who know exactly what that is or can take a look at that. Those equations, and I saw the whole bunch of equations under, if you go to Math World, there's an entry on golden rectangle, and so those equations that we see on those marker boards, along with their answers being 1.17082, another one is 0.276393, and another one is 0.306349. All of those are contained within that Math World entry. So, again, we're staying here within the golden rectangle, which points to the golden ratio, which points to the Fibonacci numbers and all that stuff. But I just Googled the one equation there, 1.17082. And what I found in Google was a entry. And, you know, with the Google entry, you don't get the whole thing. And when you click on the page, it takes you to an article that you have to pay $30 to see the article. I didn't want to look at it that badly. I encourage our listeners to do it, though, and pass on their knowledge to us.
I see how it is.
I'm a tight one. But here's what the Google entry says. It says the epidermis was linked to the number 1.17082 that locates the spiral in the golden period. And then the next line is rectangle. So I don't know if that's golden rectangle altogether there. It seems like it would fit. And that's all we get. I just think that's fascinating based on what we see in the premiere, epidermis relating to skin.
Mm-hmm.
And we see in some of the commercials where people's skin is melting off. And then so that tying into this number and mentioning the golden rectangle, it just seemed really cool to me. And I'm sure there's some knowledge to be had there if I was only willing to spend
$30. $30. Tight one. You're a tight one.
Well, I don't see you spending $30.
I gave you my plan. We all chip in $10 and we get the article.
You mean me and you and our imaginary friend Jason?
Yes. Yes, our imaginary friend Jason.
Is he going to give us imaginary money?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, well, and maybe we will. But the other thing that's coming up that I'm going to be spending my money on probably are these fringe comic books. And we have that. I have that numbered this week. So when I say we'll get to that in a little bit, we will get to that in a little bit.
Good job.
I won't forget that this week. So we got the golden rectangle, the golden ratio, continuing to show up in other things. One of the things that you and I researched earlier today was some information we found on a website. And we found this probably a week or two ago, but we really didn't spend much time on it until earlier today. And I'm going to include this website in this posting on our website with this podcast. And so you can go to thefringepodcast.com. This is episode number 3. So look at, for the blog entry for episode number 3, because this website, there's no way you're going to remember what it is. It's a whole bunch of numbers, and it's 1.618033988749894848, blah, 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 blah. It goes on. It's the Fibonacci rate, the golden ratio. So, but they've carried it on. That's right, phi. They've carried it on to, I didn't count the decimal places here. So just go to our website, thefringepodcast.com, and we've got a link to it there. And when you go to that, you're going to find 3 pieces of information. The first one is 4 coordinates. And where do they take us?
They take us to Iowa.
We're in Iowa. What's in Iowa?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Sheep, according to this video.
According to the video, there are sheep that are either very intelligent.
Or they're being controlled by something.
They're being controlled by something.
Dun, dun, dun.
They like to form themselves into perfect
circles.
Circles, that's right. So, very interesting. So, the first clue there gives us these 4 coordinates. And so, Courtney and I plotted them on Google Earth today. And then we took our little ruler that allows us to plot the mileage between two points. And then, so we did that. And then we added the sides, and then we added the links, and we divided them into each other. And guess what? Surprise, surprise, the result, 1.61.
Surprise.
Wow, who would have thought that they would have the golden ratio in Iowa? So the next clue that we see there is the actual video of the sheep and the sheep farmer being interviewed. And then the third one is kind of a mysterious video. It's like a hidden camera being taken inside a video control room is what it looks like to me. What do you think it looks like?
The third piece of evidence is actually the golden ratio of the 4 cities together. Then the fourth item is the video. It looks like maybe uncut footage of the interview with the farmer. Mm-hmm. And somebody is, you know, trying to leak it or whatever. So they're right. Recording it with a little handheld right. On a screen. That's what I thought of, uncut okay. Footage.
Yeah, so it looks interesting. So I don't know what's going on with the sheep in Iowa, but it points back to one of the sciences that we talked about last week. I can't remember what it was called. Where they tried
cybernetics.
Is that which one it was? Where they tried to control mm-hmm. animals and government and things like that.
Yes,
cybernetics. So who knows? I think that's probably what we see going on here.
Well, it mentions specifically the word control, and you can't understand it very well, but they do specifically say the word control when talking about the sheep.
Right. He said it seemed like there was a boom.
Yeah, he mentioned the word earthquake. It sounded like an earthquake. He said the sheep didn't make a noise.
Right, sheep didn't.
And he turned around outside, and there he's watching the sheep walk in a perfect circle.
As if they were being controlled.
Yeah.
So, very interesting. And Courtney, which, by the way, can I tell folks that you are Mustang Sally?
Sure, yes.
Is that
you
revealing
can.
Too much?
No.
Courtney is Mustang Sally in our forum, and you just keep unearthing beautiful pieces of information.
I had a good day today, I will say that.
Yeah, and so you turned up the website goldennumber.net.
Yes, this is a super cool website, obviously related all about phi, and which I actually read something today, it's pronounced fee, not phi. But that goes completely contrary to what I've always thought. So it's going to continue to be phi.
I thought it was phi.
That makes sense.
Like pi.
Right. Not to be confused with.
Right.
Yeah. But the goldennumber.net.
Golden, not the golden number, just goldennumber.net.
Sorry. Yes. Goldennumber.net.
Yeah, goldennumber.net. It has got tons and tons of information here. We're talking, they take phi and they break it down into all the areas that it touches. So you've got several sections on design and composition, and here we're talking about art and architecture, music and poetry, and all those sorts of things. They've got another section that's called life, and here we're talking about the way that we see the ratio in humanity, whether it's our composition of our body, the composition of our faces. We're also talking about where it occurs in animals. And here's the one I thought was probably the most interesting. And
this is the one I'm super excited about.
Well, we might be talking about.
Oh, we might. Okay.
I don't know. I'm going to say DNA.
Yes, that would be it.
The way that it occurs in your DNA strands, I just think is fascinating, because I think that totally goes in with the show.
I have been looking for that piece of information ever since we first started talking about doing this, because I knew it had to tie in somehow, and I could not figure out how. And now I know, thanks to goldennumber.net.
So that's awesome. And so we've got plants, animals, body temperatures, the human teeth. I mean, all these areas in the animal and plant kingdom that are touched by the golden ratio. They've got another section for mathematics, geometry, cosmology. They've got even the stock market, which I thought was interesting. And just tons and tons.
There's so much. You really need to go just read through it. I mean, it'd be very easy to spend at least an hour just clicking on the links and reading through the articles.
Oh, easy an hour just on a couple of the articles that are here. So we got to give it up to the folks at goldennumber.net. And I'll put a link to them in our blog area for this episode too, so you can take all these sites that we're talking about. And if you're in Firefox, which if you're not in Firefox, pause this podcast, go download Firefox, and never say hello to Internet Explorer ever again.
Never.
So you can just click all these links, open them up in a new tab, and have them all side by side. That's what we do, and it's like you flip from each one, and they're awesome. So tons of research that can be done there. And things to unearth and discover. So I'm excited, too, about the DNA thing. The whole way that it fits in with the double helix and the formation of the genetic strand, I just think that's fascinating. So the last thing I want to cover tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and give a spoiler warning for this part of our podcast, because it does touch on some things that are revealed somewhat in some of the trailers that are out there. But not in detail. It's the whole section on the trailers where, I just forgot his name. It's the whole section in the trailers where Philip Broyles is sitting down with Olivia Dunham, and he starts describing what the pattern is to her, and he begins to tell her these various stories. And so there's a story. Help me out here. Of a fishermen, a bunch of fishermen out in the Indian Ocean, I think it was.
I believe so.
And a plane comes flying low to the water. They hear kind of a...
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka. Okay, so that would be the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, that would be.
And they hear like a blast, like an earthquake type thing. And it blows out all their windows in their boat. And then like an hour later, there's a tsunami just there on Sri Lanka that's very isolated. The earthquake isn't really measured on the Richter scales. No other areas are affected by this, so it seems to be very direct and precise with its where it hits. Another story that he talks about is where a specific child, and he names off the child name of John Thompson, who disappeared in 1998. And then reappears 10 years later, another part of the globe. He hasn't aged a day, and it's like he doesn't remember anything. It's almost as if he went from 1998 to 2008 in an instant. He doesn't have any memories of ever being gone, and he hasn't aged a day. And it wasn't just him that turned up at that moment. There were 46 others, is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple other stories that he tells. Do you remember what they were?
Yeah, there was the... he did mention that there had been 36 other airplane incidents,
okay,
like the one from Hamburg, Germany. And he didn't mention this. I remember hearing it somewhere other than the Fringe preview comic, but talking about the 100 or so head of cattle that just died with no visible signs on them, other than they're just dead.
Right.
And they went and they looked at them and they have all human organs.
Right. And
that's, inside.
That's what we're getting to here. These things that he's talking about here in the premiere episode are things that are discussed in the premiere episode of the Fringe comic. And the Fringe comic is on newsstands. I don't know if they call them newsstands. Comic book stores, August 27th. So that's a week from next Tuesday from when we're recording this podcast. And so, yeah, one of the other stories is a herd of cattle in Topeka, Kansas that just wind up dead. And there's no visible signs of trauma. There's no reason why they seem to be dead. And so they do autopsies and find human organs inside these animals. And I first go to Courtney and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And what did you say to me?
I said transmogrification.
Transmogrification, which we talked about last week.
We did.
And that is the phenomenon, if it's not a real phenomenon in my opinion, but the phenomenon of being able to shapeshift, mm-hmm. which is when we were talking about Mystique. Is that
yes.
right?
Yeah, yeah, that's where that went.
So that could be what has happened here, is these humans, I guess, have transformed themselves into cattle, and maybe something went wrong.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Another story, though, that they mentioned was the guy in Lisbon, Portugal.
Say the guy in the coma?
Yes, he was in a coma, and then he woke up, and as soon as he woke up, he didn't talk. All he did was start writing down numbers, and intelligence agency got hold of it. And discovered that the numbers were real-time coordinates of a fleet in the one of the oceans. Doesn't say.
I thought it was just a location
Pacific.
Of all their like high security fleets or something like that.
Okay, here this is what the comic says. Okay. American intelligence services determined that the numbers correspond to the precise real-time coordinates of every U.S. Navy ship in the Pacific at the moment Mr. Aguilar woke up.
So that's pretty creepy. I don't know what science you would put behind that.
I don't know either, but this ties into something that we weren't going to talk about because we don't know enough about it. But when you search Tempest originally, it pulls up a Wikipedia entry. It says Tempest is a code name referring to investigations and studies of compromising emanations. Compromising emanations are defined as unintentional intelligence-bearing signals which, if interpreted and analyzed, may disclose the information transmitted, received, handled, or otherwise processed by any information processing equipment.
Right, so like you're transmitting something in some other type of device inadvertently picks it up.
Which I don't know what science what that would be, but that what happened to him almost it seems like it matches exactly. There's something that he picked up somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are top secret things.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, in the show, in the premiere, Lance Reddick's character, Philip Broyle, says to Olivia Dunham that this intel is classified above top secret. So this is the most secretive stuff out there, and yet some people are finding out about it. I wonder, though, if maybe it was more of an astral projection where this guy has been out of body this entire time. He's in a coma, and he comes back with the knowledge that he gained during that out-of-body experience.
But would that be real time?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe he gathered that information right before he woke up.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to the comic book, though. I mean, it's
I am too.
Really interesting. And I think the folks that attended Comic-Con last month in San Diego, some of those folks got a sample of the
That's what I
comic.
Was reading.
And so I think it had like 4 or 5 pages on there. So that's all that we have seen. And so those are out there on the Internet. And I'll tell you, you can get that at fringetelevision.com. And I see today where they have permission to link that from their site. They've got those watermarked, and so I was afraid to link those because I didn't want to steal information from their site. But I read today where they are allowing that. So we'll probably put that on our site because it really is interesting. And this is a new ancillary product that they're pushing out there for the uber geeks like we are, and hopefully we'll see a phenomenon with this like we've seen with Lost, and there'll be a lot of kind of internet scuttle and all kinds of things out there for us to keep us busy and keep us theorizing for months and weeks at a time. So a lot of exciting stuff coming out as we get closer to the show coming on the air. It should just get better. Fox Broadcasting is continuing to release new videos on YouTube. We've added those to our site, so check those out at thefringepodcast.com. And then go to our videos page. We also want to encourage you to join our community at thefringepodcast.com/forum. Send us your feedback at feedback@thefringepodcast.com. And as always, we thank you for joining us for this episode of The Fringe Podcast. We will be back, hopefully, with Jason next week.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully he'll get everything squared away. And he'll be joining us next week with some great insight, unique insight, since we haven't had him as a part of this show before. So once again, thanks for joining us for this episode of The Fringe Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
Namaste.